Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed. Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hello, my name is Virgil Rodriguez, and this is A Race of Your Own, where we talk about how inspiration leads to resilience. And today's guest is a TV host, a horror movie aficionado. She's a graduate of Belmont College in broadcast journalism. She's done a ton of hosting stuff, you know, some for the WWE SmackDown Lowdown, Battleground 2017, and SummerSlam 2017. And she's recently launched an online series called Killing Time with Kayla, Miss Kayla Becker. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I'm happy to be here.
Yay. I am so, excited to have you here, but also just like inspired by like your story because you have a really interesting story. As I was like kind of researching some stuff that you've done a lot of stuff for the WWE. And I know that, you know, you've built kind of this world and this community and this fan base of people, but just like your personal story. And I know we've talked about that before. You just have this like such an aspirational way of looking at the world.
Thank you.
In that sense, you're welcome. And I want to explore that for sure. Tell me a little bit, because I know you've kind of you were working with the WWE for a while and you've kind of transitioned out of that now. So can you kind of talk to us about what that was like for you, you know, being in WWE, because you built a community there, right?
I did.
What was that like for you being in that space and now finding yourself, a lot of what we talk about here is being in a race of your own. So kind of curbing those moments out for you in life, where you're building your own road, right? You're building your own path. So what does that kind of look like for you now?
It's scary. You know, anytime you take a leap like that after being somewhere with so much security for so long, it's really scary. And yes, I was with WWE for 8 years and built this, you know, really large platform and a fan base and got to travel the world and really solidify my place in the broadcasting world, especially in sports broadcasting. Phenomenal experience. I never expected to be there that long. When I started WWE, I was like, okay, I'll do this for a year and then we'll see what's next. And I am very nomadic, especially in my career. Like I get up every 2 years and I'm like, okay, what's next out there? So being somewhere for that long was crazy in itself for me. But as great as it was to work for such a massive company, it prevented me from exploring things that I wanted to do and that meant a lot to me. And it honestly just, it started wearing on me, started wearing on my heart. And I would wake up some days and I felt like this, almost like this depression, because I was like, I made a promise to myself and I wasn't keeping it because I was too comfortable and I was just cashing the paycheck and working, you know, flying out every week and coming home. So I think one day I was just like, you know what, screw this. I'm going to bet on myself. Don't know what that's going to look like. This is going to be terrifying. I'm in the thick of it right now, you know, just trying things, throwing spaghetti against the wall. But it, as scary as it is, it just feels really good. And I mean, with what you're doing, you can understand that, like the sense of pride that comes along with it. And I know everything is going to work out and I'm going to get everything they've ever dreamed of. It may take a little bit longer, but it's going to just feel that much more rewarding when it finally happens because I'm doing it on my own. So we shall see.
Yeah. And I feel, you know, a lot of what I talk about here is about purpose, you know, and living in your purpose. And it sounded like there came a moment in time where you recognized I'm not in my purpose, right? Because you're like, I'm depressed. You know, what was the kind of trigger point for you to go, okay, I think I can take that leap. I think I can take that risk.
I think when I realized that my trajectory kind of like stalled out in WWE, I realized, and it's just business. There was nothing personal. I hold nothing against the company for doing it, but they started using me a lot less and started putting other people in my spots without giving me explanations. And again, I know it's business, but for me, that made it personal because I'm like, I've been so dedicated to you for all this time. I've put in the work. I know I'm damn good at my job. What's up? And then WWE has this, it's really hard to be able to do anything else outside, A, because there's no time to do it, and B, there's just all this red tape, you know, like you're their people, you're no one else's people, and you have to jump through all these hoops to be allowed to do anything else. And I got an offer to role in my first movie, and WWE wasn't going to let me do it. And I was like, why am I going, this is another opportunity I'm turning down when I'm not doing anything of purpose or of meaning for you. And so for me, that was like, I got to go because I don't want to wake up in 8 more years after turning down many more opportunities to just be doing the same old song and dance every day. So I spoke with the higher ups at WWE. They were very understanding. They've always been really good to me. And even they just said, if you think you've done everything you can do here, we support you. And the door is always open for you if you ever want to come back here. But they were excited to see like what I went out and did next. So yeah, it was a positive exit. So I couldn't have asked for anything more. Because the last thing you want to do, especially in this business, is burn any bridges. And that's not my thing. So that was just kind of that little wake up call.
Well, you could be professional, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can be professional. You can say kind of what your stance is, so to speak, or where you're at, right, in your career, and just not make it. Doesn't have to be difficult or, you know, like whatever.
Absolutely not.
It could be, you know, professional and upbeat and positive and a positive experience. Do you feel like, and it's as women of color, you know, in this space, you know, and in entertainment, all of it, you know, sometimes it's like, did you feel like, and I'm only saying this because I kind of experienced the same thing, right? Like as you were kind of like aging out, right? Like there's this thing of like, oh, you're like, are you aging out? Because you start to question yourself, right? You're like, am I too old? Am I aging out? Am I just not relevant? Do I not know? Yeah. No, is it my look? Is it my hair? Is it my, is it what I'm wearing? Is it like, like, you know, how do you kind of get yourself through those moments, right? Because you're in the thick of it. When you were in the thick of it, you were probably like, wait, what's going on? What am I doing? Am I doing something wrong?
Yeah, and that's the thing. A lot of these places won't tell you when you're doing something wrong. And it's like, I'd rather you tell me I'm really bad at my job and here are the things you need to work on versus remove me and tell me that everything's great and you love me. Because how am I supposed to grow and how can I trust that because it doesn't make sense to me? So there was that moment. I'm like, am I past that age point now? Do I not have the look that, you know, appeals to them anymore? Of course, all those doubts went through my head. But then I also had to remember that like a ton of other people have been pursuing me to work for them. So it's not a me problem. I don't say it's a them problem, but I just wasn't their cup of tea anymore, but I'm somebody else's. So it definitely helped keep the confidence there because it is really easy, as you know, especially as a woman of color in the industry, to really get down on yourself and start questioning your own abilities and stuff. But really try not to do that.
Yeah. Cause that can be, you know, we don't want that to like be the one deciding factor, right, in this industry. And so now you've kind of shifted, it seems, and you're doing Killing Time with Kayla, which I've watched a couple of episodes. I love them. I love it. Cause I know you're a horror movie aficionado. And I only know like a couple of horror movies cause I'm not that big on them only because I just spoke about this with someone on the show and it was like I start to laugh when I watch them because I'm like, girl, why are you running into the woods?
That's what makes it so fun.
I know. But then I'm like, no, like I can't get out of the like That's not real. Like, no, I know movies aren't real, right? Like, duh. But you know, is that something that you just as a kid kind of always just loved horror movies?
Always loved them. I think it started very young, way too young for me to be watching horror movies.
What was the first, do you have a favorite?
What's funny is I went back and rewatched a horror movie that when I haven't seen it since I was a child. When I was a child, it scared me so bad to where I taped up my windows because I was scared of this thing coming in. It was Idle Hands. Okay. I watched it again the two nights ago. It is not a horror movie. It is a straight up comedy, but it's essentially about Devon Sawa plays one of the leads. Mm-hmm. His hand is killing people, so he cuts off his hand and his hand goes without him and starts killing people. I was scared the hand was going to come in and kill me in my sleep.
Okay.
But that was like my gateway drug into horror. And then once I like stopped being scared of that, I think I started watching all the Chucky movies.
Yeah.
Never owned a doll ever in my childhood watching those. To this day, I don't like dolls. Then I watched It. So, you know, nowadays I'm a big like Pennywise fan, Art the Clown fan. But I think for me, like my older sister who I looked up to, she loved horror. I just wanted to do whatever she wanted. You know, she was cool. So I just wanted to like be interested in what she was interested in. My biological mom loved it. So it was almost like this sense of peace and family because it was something we'd all snuggle up on the couch and be scared together and watch horror movies. Again, in hindsight, my mother should not have been doing that. It's probably something I need to break down in therapy, but it's definitely given me this this love for it and like the art behind horror and like the comedy behind it. And I mean, I watch a scary movie like every single night. I love it.
Every single night?
I've gotten Theon, poor guy. He's like, can we watch like maybe a comedy tonight?
A rom-com?
I'm like, no, I want to see blood and guts and violence. That's the only way I can sleep.
You're like, you don't understand. It's soothing.
It's soothing to me.
Right, right. I can't really talk too much about it, but I recently worked on a horror movie.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, on the production end, on the side. And it was interesting to watch. I'd never worked in that genre, right? Worked a ton of different projects, you know, comedies to music to whatever, musicals, but never worked in horror. And it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And just like, just what goes into it. I never got into
it. Even
on
like
the production
with like the blood, like even seeing like, because the movie that I did was, it was like a horror comedy, essentially a thriller comedy. And so it was kind of cool seeing the like how they do the horror like stuff within movies because you never really think about it.
No.
But yeah.
Yeah, it was they had, again, without saying too much, they had this one contraption thing that just like spits out blood.
Yeah, like the blood cannon.
You know, and they're like, and then we pump it. And I was like, oh my God, that's crazy. And it looks so real. That's amazing. But yeah, you know, when I was reading your bio and reading like your story, it talked about you were in the foster care system too. You know, I'm going to jump around here a little bit, but you know, I'm interested in hearing that and hearing that side of your story because I feel like, again, a lot of what I talk about is resilience, right? And that sometimes as a child, when did you first get into the foster care
system? I was 9.
And then was it, you know, because we talked about this before, one of the last times we hung out, and you were like, you know, I just want to be around positive women and telling these stories. Mm-hmm. And that was, you were saying that was part of your story as well, and like kind of going through that journey.
Yeah.
You know, what was that like for you in the sense of like, you know, who Kayla is today from like her work ethic? Because like, that's what I see you as.
Yeah.
You know, you have this really like.
I think a lot of it, I think I've always been really like fiery. I was a fiery kid. And I think it just came from like the traumatizing aspects of my home. Like I constantly had to fight. Like it was not just fighting. Mm-hmm. And then being told by people who were supposed to like care for me that I was never going to amount to anything. And I was going to end up just like my mother who was in prison and that I was never going to be anything. And I think instead of turning me into like a sad kid, it just made me want to like prove people wrong. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the basis of my career. Like, I think even with, I tell the story with WWE, one of my mom's boyfriends, he was really abusive to all of us. Mm-hmm. And we'd come home from school, me and my little sister just having a great day. And he would be like wasted on the couch, like at 2 p.m. And he always had WWE on. And so when I first got the job offer at WWE, I said no because immediately it was like a traumatizing thing to remember because the only time I'd ever seen WWE was on his screen when he was drunk and he was like abusing us.
It was a trigger.
But then I thought, how cool would it be though for him to turn on his TV screen and see me pop up on it, which is like a big reason why I took the job at WWE. And it like worked out that way. Like my mom's ex-boyfriends would like text her asking if they could like come to a show or get my autograph. I'm like, no, absolutely not, loser. I actually had this idea that I was going to say, okay, I'll leave tickets for them at will call and then get to will call and there'd be no tickets for them. But I decided not to do that.
You were like, let me not be a mean girl.
Let me not be mean. But yeah, I think that's just how it's how I operate. Like I just, I think I've moved past the proving other people wrong, and now I'm just trying to prove myself right. That like I can just do, you know, so much and use my platform and use my story to like get myself there, and it always keeps me grounded because I know like I'm doing it for the right reason.
I feel like, you know, that kind of thing, it's, you know, that's where we, I think we see eye to eye in a lot of ways and are similar in a lot of ways. It's because, you know, and I speak about this all the time. And again, viewers' feedback that I've gotten from them is like, yeah, it's so inspirational. It's, you know, we come to these moments in life where you stay in a race of your own, right? That's the whole point. You're going up the hill, down the hill. Sometimes you plateau. Sometimes there's tumbleweeds, right? But as a child, sometimes we're put into these traumatic situations because, you know, I've even had stuff happen to me as a child where it was traumatic, you know, and my parents separating and all that, and what that dynamic was like can be very traumatic. Because you see, for me, I felt like as a kid, you know, I just wanted to save my mom, right? I just wanted to do that. And we can't. We're these little beings, but somehow that translated into, well, I'm just gonna be this like superhero. You know, because and then we're watching cartoons and we're watching movies, and that's kind of what they're pumping to us too. So again, what resonated to me about your story was that, right? Was that, and it's so interesting to me to see your career and how far you've come and like where you're going, right? Because I can almost kind of see it in that sense, right? Where you're like becoming this beacon in your own way, you know, and that's inspiring, right? For lack of a better word, right? And I'm curious to know, like, what other things kind of that you have that you see yourself kind of going towards that you pull from that? Like, are there things that you see that you set for yourself that you want to go do that you pull from those situations?
I mean, I think I'm just always known, like even with wanting to go into broadcasting and being in television, that all stemmed from when I was in fourth grade. I just moved into the new foster home. And in Alabama, there's this program called 4-H. It's like this program in the country, but we all had to do, they do like agriculture contests or like sewing contests. And like all of us, they're like trying to make us all little homemakers. I don't know what was going on, but okay. In my new class, we all were required to partake in one of the activities. It was just like part of the curriculum. And I saw one of the competitions on there was public speaking, which I had never done before. I was like, I'll do this. It feels like it's like easy. I'm kind of phoning it in because I feel like, and I can just go up there and talk. The new kids don't know me. It'll give me a chance to tell my story, and then we'll see how it goes. And I saw all the other kids who were in the competition. They were all had note cards, so they went up there and do their speech. And I'm like, I'm just going to memorize it because I know I'll win. And so that's literally what happened. I got up there and just memorized my speech, the only kid in class who did, and I won. And that was like the first time I'd ever won anything. And then I remember getting off the school bus and running down the driveway at a purple ribbon. I was like yelling to my parents. I was like, I won. And they're like, what did she win? Because I didn't tell them I was doing it because I was like, if I don't win, I don't want to disappoint them. Yep. And so they saw it and they had like the biggest, like they were so happy for me. Like this like look of just pride, which I had never gotten from an adult before. Like I never really had anyone tell me they were proud of me or like, you know, try to help me figure out what I wanted to do. So when I saw how happy they were that I won this based on doing a public speech, I was like, okay, so this is what makes people happy. This is what I'm gonna do for the rest of my life. So I just knew at that moment I was gonna do something in like speech or television and stuff. So, and that, I mean, that's just kind of where we got. Like I ended up being a competitive public speaker. Nerd. I got all the boys.
I'm sure you did, Kayla.
All the boys. Right. And then I went to Belmont University in Nashville, Tennessee, did broadcast journalism, started my own talk show, two talk shows while I was in college, and then got my first TV job in Orlando for NBC. And then the rest is history. So the things that I want to do from here on out, I think I just want more control over what stories I'm telling because I do love telling stories. And because I have my own story, I think it's very easy for me to relate to other people. So the next thing I see, besides killing time with Kayla, we'll see where that goes. I really want to do a show that is aimed around foster kids. And so I've actually written a show already. I may shop it around, but that is something that I'm just really, really passionate about. And I have a really cool way to like get some stories out there and just inspire the next generation who may have are going through times like we went through. So that's the goal.
Yeah. I mean, and I hear you say something like about like having your voice heard, right, is like really important, you know, and sometimes, I don't know, I feel like it, that gets lost, right? Because we're so busy doing our jobs and our work, you know, it's about, you know, coming back to purpose, right? And like what that purpose really kind of looks like for you. And I think like that would be really interesting to hear stories of whatever your storyline is, but of the show you're talking about, like foster kids, like that voice that we don't get to hear. We don't really know.
And that's also a thing that's funny is I did an internship program when I was in high school and it was just for foster kids, and they placed us in different like businesses around DC. I worked for the American Bar Association, thought for a hot minute I wanted to be a lawyer. No, I'm a great arguer, but not like officially.
Debater.
I'm a debater. I will die on
you will the debate hill. For days.
I will.
Right.
But it's funny, there's so many foster kids who like grew up that went into broadcasting. And I was like, I wonder what the psychology behind that is. And I think it is because for a lot of us, we were silenced and told not to talk and be quiet. And like, no one wants to hear you talk. And when we finally get our voice, it's like, that's what we want to do. So it's funny when I was like thinking about that, I really feel like that directly stems from just wanting to finally be heard.
Yeah, that's a really empowering thing. Mm-hmm. I think I'd love to see like, ooh, I could even see you. Ooh, I'm getting an idea. You know, do a program for foster kids to hear their voices.
Yeah, no, for sure.
You know, because I think there's something really empowering about having your voice heard. And it doesn't, I don't mean like, oh, it has to be like this global, national.
No,
like,
you know,
just even a baby step towards that. Is really empowering, you know? And so the fact that it's coming from someone like you that lived that story is even more so, right? So authenticity and being authentic in that space, I think is like an interesting and needed, needed, right? So authentic storytelling from that perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I'd love to hear more about that when you continue to work on it.
Yeah,
or,
absolutely.
You know,
I'll give you the inside scoop.
Yes, yeah. You know, what else do you have coming up, one, but also two, like, you know, how long have you been in LA? You've been in LA for a while, but you were traveling.
2 years.
You were traveling with WWE for a while.
Yeah, so I've been out of WWE for like for 6 months now. So I feel like I'm finally getting to live in LA, although I don't leave my couch if I don't have to. But it's been good. They say it takes you like about 2 years to kind of get your footing in this city.
Right.
I think I don't have to use my GPS all the time anymore.
Yeah.
So. I'm learning.
You're like, oh, I know where Sunset is.
I know where Sunset is.
And I know where Santa Monica
is. And that's all that matters.
The two veins of the city. Yeah. Right. You know, and you talked about something about also like bringing women together, right? Because we were talking about that before outside of here a while ago. You know, and just the importance of like keeping that kind of circle of friends, but also keeping that circle of camaraderie, right, in that sense. And I know you still keep in touch with some of the girls from WWE, and that's kind of like your base, I guess, so to speak. You know, I just want to hear more about like Kayla. I just want to hear more about like what, you know, where, because I put even out in here, like, do you see yourself getting into horror? Like, I'm like, are you going to go shoot a horror film? Like,
I mean, I did one.
You did?
I mean, the one that's coming out, I think, next year.
Okay. That you produced?
Oh, that I produced. I mean,
yeah.
I would definitely, me and my best friend, he's an executive news producer in Boston. We've been friends for like 10 years. And he and I write a lot of stuff like that, like horror movies, horror concepts, horror shows. So we always say one of these days we're going to be receiving some kind of award for whatever movie, horror movie that we write. So yeah, no, that's definitely, I'm even working on a more suspense like show, right now. Oh, absolutely. That would be a dream to get to bring something like that to life.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to like see you like, I'm like, what are you going to do next? Like, where are we going to, cause I know you're doing your podcast, obviously. But you know, I want to like see more from you.
Well, listen, so do I, but unfortunately I can't snap my fingers and just get all the jobs that I want right now. And
do you see though, cause of the way the industry, I was just talking to somebody else about this. You know, it's about, you know, being in this creator economy, right. And being in this space now that you've, you know, stepped away from that and what you were doing to now, it's like, you know, seeing, cause that's what I see you as. I see you doing it just on your own. Right. And we're all kind of coming together and talking about all these things. And I'm like, just go do it. Yeah. Like, let's just go shoot it. Let's get it done. Right. I so see that in you.
And yeah, that's kind of where I am, I think. Cause it's, you know, it's, although there's all the perks of working for somebody else, like the money, at the end of the day, we can make our own. And like I said earlier, just the rewarding feeling of doing it on your own. So, but as you know, it is not easy, you know, creating something from nothing and not knowing if you're going to have an audience for it or if there's going to be any interest in it. But I think like right now I'm just, I you know, it gets discouraging sometimes and you don't get see the numbers that you want to see, but I think it's all about, you know, consistency and confidence in the product that you're putting out there. So that's kind of just where I'm trying to keep my head right now. I don't want to get too, cause my ADHD brain will hang it up and try something else tomorrow. And so I'm just trying to like stay focused.
Yeah.
And I have the time right now. I've been writing my book.
Nice.
And I'm hoping to put out in the next, get published.
When do you see that getting finished?
It should be finished by the end of the year, like writing wise. Then I'll start talking to publishers to see where it would go.
And is that a story just mainly about?
About just my life story. So,
yeah. And, you know, I've talked about before, like jobs being like our identity, right? And stepping away from that. Or who talks about it being a creator economy and us identifying with these jobs, right? Like you're just like, I don't want to be just identified as that. That was part of my past. That's who I was. Now I'm stepping into this like book, right? Like I'm like, yeah, I want to like learn about Kayla. Like who was she? What did she go through? What got her to where she is, right? And what that story kind of looks like. You know, I don't find myself, it took me a second to get there, like validation, like outside validation, like and making that so much a part of our identity, right? Like you stepping into this new kind of world, era of Kayla, whatever. you know, I'm interested in kind of seeing that and like what that looks like.
Me too.
Yeah.
And we're all going to be finding out together.
Yeah. Oh, are you like, I don't really know.
We're all going to find out together. No, it's true. It's hard because like I'm still doing all these like autograph signings and autograph conventions as formerly known as WWE's Kayla Braxton. It's like, I keep asking them, stop putting Kayla Braxton on these flyers. Kayla Braxton is dead. It's Kayla Becker now, but then these people come after me like, you're so ungrateful. Like, you would have been nothing without WWE. Now you're going to be nothing without, like, the powerhouse that is WWE. And I'm like, okay, keep it up. Like, I mean, that's huge. I mean, the WWE fan base is a different level of
fandom.
Like, it is, they can be really great, but they can be some of the most toxic human beings on the face. The stuff they will just say to you on, like, Twitter.
Fandom.
They call it, like, the internet wrestling community. Uh-huh. The IWC is the most toxic group on. So it's bad. So they try to remind me every day when I'm scrolling that I'm nothing without them and that I'm ungrateful and that I only use WWE as a stepping stone. I'm like, that's what you do in a career. That is literally okay. Like, go back to your basement and, you know, playing Fortnite, whatever the hell that you do in your free time. Like, anyway, I'm just.
But how do you know? Go for it. I don't care.
It's like
because we talk about here about alchemizing, right? Not being in your emotions, right? And it's hard. I mean, it's easy to say, right? It's really easy to say that, but like, how do you deal with something like that? You know, because I've had other guests talk about that. They're like, I can't take it.
It's hard. And like when I was in WWE, I got in a lot of trouble because I consider myself the clapback queen. You come after me and I never get mad. To me, it's just like, let me think of something really clever and funny that I know is going to sting. But then we're not allowed to do that at WWE. So now that I'm like, the leash is off, I will unleash on some of these people. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what I have, because the stuff they would say, like during COVID, you could look that up. I was reported as the first person to have COVID in WWE. So I brought COVID to WWE. That is not the true story, but that is what is out there. And the wrestling fans came after me instead of being sympathetic to the situation.
Why was it you?
I don't think it was me. I was one of the few, but I was anyway. That's okay. A whole another thing for another day. But the wrestling fans who are just like really nasty decided to attack me, start like calling me COVID Kayla, then sending me death threats saying they wish that like I was dead so I didn't infect any of their favorite wrestlers. Like they were nasty. And that took me in a really dark, I mean, COVID was depressing for all of us anyway.
Everybody, yes.
And then like getting attacked like that because of my health, because I picked up this new disease that no one knew what
it was.
That was really hard for me. And I had a hard time not responding to people. And I had to really learn and grow from that. And in this past year, far below, there's not even worth allowing anything they say, no matter how terrible it is, to ever like keep you from your goals and your purpose and getting to where you want to be. Because, I mean, if anything, it should fuel all of us when people like doubt us like that, you know?
Oh, no, absolutely. You know, I've been in situations where it's... you know, people can perceive you a certain way and kind of put that picture of you out there. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm protected under God. I know that. Right. Yeah. You know, and sometimes when you're bringing, this light into the world in that sense, you know, because sometimes people that do stuff like that, a room or you talk to people and you're really charismatic and people like you, you're just being yourself. You're like not even competing with people, or you're not, you know, trying to hold anybody back, or you're not trying to take anything from anyone. Maybe you're ambitious.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe you know, you're out there and you're just a go-getter. Right. And that can bother even people too. It's like, well, you know, yes, no. There's room for everybody.
Exactly.
You know, there's a light for everybody, but I don't have to feel like I got to bring anybody down in that sense. So I'm sorry that you're going through that.
Oh, thank you. I didn't mean all that to get any kind of like.
No.
But it's the reality of putting your mug all over the TV screen. You know, people are here, you know, but they're watching.
They're watching. that's one point. Right. You know. It's like, well, you're actually watching. So
watch. I know. Thanks for helping me monetize.
That part. Thank you for the extra view.
Exactly.
But, you know, there comes to a certain point. It's like, it gets a little extra. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where it's like, well, it doesn't matter. But I think that's what I talk about here is resilience. Mm-hmm. Right. It's about taking that kind of and turning that into resilience. Right. How that can kind of inspire you to kind of. Not kind of, but to push forward, right? And get through that because I might have said this already, and I might be saying it again. but you know, what would you say is a piece of advice for somebody who is, you know, in a race of their own, right? That going up the hill, down the hill, plateauing, seeing those tumbleweed moments. Like, what is a piece of advice somebody wanted to get into broadcast journalism or sports journalism? Or start their own podcast, you know, their own kind of series in that sense, get in entertainment. What would you say is something that you would tell them as a piece of advice? And like, you know, how to stay in a race of your own.
I mean, just like, don't lose focus of your goal. Like, don't let yourself get distracted. I think reminding yourself every day as to why you're doing what you're doing, not allowing, like there's been times I'm like, oh my God, did I make a mistake leaving WWE? Because it's so scary being on your own. But I'm like, no, because then I wouldn't be able to have this freedom. I couldn't be Kayla Becker. And I think if your identity is worth something to you, which I think if you are, you know, taking on a race of your own, that means your identity means quite a bit to you. Then you're going to find, you know, the peace and the happiness. And I think that's just kind of how the world works. I think everything is going to work out how you want it if you're doing it for the right reasons, and you're just, you know, keeping your eye on the prize. So I am, I said, in the process of that, we're loading. No.
The little loading docks. Yeah. Well, Kayla, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
I so appreciate you just taking some time out for me.
Because
I appreciate that. And I wish you nothing but luck.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to that book.
Yes.
I wanna go read that book.
Yes.
Let's have a book
club.
Girl, I will
send you one. Yes, book club.
Book club time. And this is Virgie Rodriguez for A Race of Your Own. Remember to subscribe. Please leave comments, questions, whatever, feedback in those comments. And we'll see you soon. Take care. Mm-hmm.